Welcome everyone to today's call. Courtesy of Geico, you have been granted exclusive access to a live podcast interview with Max Pappas, the new NASCAR driver for Geico Racing. We are very happy to have you participate in today's call. Today, along with other NASCAR enthusiasts, you will have the opportunity to ask questions and listen to an exclusive interview with Max Pappas. Please remember that any reproduction, distribution, or transmission of any part or parts of today's call is not permitted. However, today's call is being recorded and will be produced into podcast segments and made available for broadcast no later than this Friday. I would now like to turn the call over to our moderator for this interview, Charlie Turner.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Charlie Turner, and myself, along with my partner, Steve Ronkowitz, are the hosts of the syndicated, mostly NASCAR radio show On Pit Row. On Pit Row's in its eighth season on the air. I'm also a writer and in charge of content for OnPitRow.com, which is the web home of On Pit Row, and host the Bench Racing with Steve and Charlie, a blog that is has been identified as one of the four most influential NASCAR blogs on the net. We've also done extensive broadcast work for the ARCA Remax series. We're here today with Max Pappas, the new driver for the Geico number 13 Sprint Cup Series Toyota Camry. In 2007, Max Pappas was the winner of the 12 Hours of Sebring, as well as the Petit Le Mans for Corvette Racing. He started second and finished third at the NASCAR Nationwide Series race at Montreal and participated in Sprint Cup Series as well as Grand Am Racing Series this year. Max is the 2004 Grand Am Rolex Series champion. He has also posted wins at the 24 Hours of Daytona in 2000 and 2002. We're very excited and fortunate to have him with us today. Welcome, Max.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Max, let's kick this interview off with my first question. You qualified fifth in the truck race at Texas a few weeks ago and ran third until you were wrecked by a competitor. I understand you're going to be running the truck race again this week at Homestead. How do you feel the experience of racing a truck will translate to the Cup car?
Yeah, you said it right. You know, we run the 07 Geico truck in Texas, and I mean, you know, we qualified fifth. Was a blast. You know, it was actually very difficult. You know, we run wide open in Texas, and it wasn't. You know, it was not just an easy exercise. We started the race. We ran really well. I think I went up to third. I was right behind Kyle Busch. And, you know, right in the middle of the mist, I think, I think Eric Darnell, the 99 truck, kind of nudged me a little bit. I don't know if it was me kind of being in a position that I didn't have to be or him kind of pushing the issue. I was not really sure. I was kind of on the outside minding my own. I just wanted to finish the race and get some more experience. And unfortunately, you know, I got sent sideways straight into the wall, and my Geico truck, you know, had damage on the front spindle. So we decided it was better to park it. And it was a shame, but at the same time was a great way to set the tone, in a way, in Germain Racing. Germain Racing gave me a great truck, and we showed, you know, everyone that with great equipment, with the right time, you know, we can be there. You know, like, you know, we were competitive, we were running up front. And that's what it mattered. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we got the 07 truck where it belonged to. And it was great to be able to share information with Todd Bodine. He's such a great teammate to have. You know, he's a real class act guy, and he's a really, you know, ballsy guy. So I think that it was a great experience. And, again, you know, that set the tone for the weekend. Unfortunately, you know, we didn't make the show with a number 13 Geico, you know, Sprint Cup car. We tried, but, you know, it was our first attempt. We knew that we would have not been at our best. And we regrouped after that, you know, went testing in Kentucky yesterday. You know, we had Michael Waltrip Racing, you know, giving their best advice, prepping the car. So we are ready to rock and roll for Homestead. I'm going to be again in the 07 Geico truck and in the number 13 Geico Cup car.
Max, tell us a little bit more about Texas. Even though you didn't qualify for the Cup race, how do you think that experience will help you this week at Homestead in the Cup race?
I mean, I know that I'm going to have a long list of people saying, man, you didn't make the show, blah, 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 blah. You know, I can tell you guys, that's tough. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to you know, to be able just to make the show. And I know that that's not just our goal. We just don't want to be out there just participating in the race, but we've got to start somewhere. And I can tell you that we learn a lot as a team in Texas. You know, that's why we went to Kentucky. And we basically got this, the group of people that are supposed to work on the Cup number 13 Geico car on Friday. We got them out in Kentucky. They got a chance to work together for the first time. And for our listener, you know, for them to understand, it's not just, hey, let's go racing and, you know, we get a fast car and we make the show. It's the whole operation that need to be, you know, need to work together. You know, we have, we need, you know, we're going to get basically 12 laps right before, in 12 laps in 1.5 hours, because we're going to unload the car in qualifying simulation. And 12 laps basically means that I'm going to be on the track for about 6 minutes. That's basically the time I'm going to be spending on the track. And, you know, that tells you that, you know, we got to unload pretty close, and we got to unload with something that we are confident. And I feel that we have that in the Geico car for this weekend at Homestead. So, you know, like, I'm looking forward a lot, you know, to try to make the show. And we knew that these two races were a learning curve for us. And I hope that we kind of, you know, went to the top of the mountain and we learned a lot. You know, it was definitely a big eye-opener, Texas, for everyone. So I feel that we learned a lot and we're going to bring the experience in Homestead. And, you know, I'm not finding any excuses. I'm just telling you guys that, you know, we're ready. We're working our tails off. You know, we're working really hard. And, you know, my goal is not just making the show, but show everyone that and show God that, you know, my position in the number 13 car, it's a position to be there for a long time. So that's what we want.
We'll take our first question from Glenn LaMontagne in Springfield, Massachusetts. Please go ahead.
Hey, Max. How you doing?
How you doing?
Good.
Massachusetts. How cold is it in Massachusetts today?
Yeah, it's not too bad right now. Winter's coming, though.
Good. I was testing in Kentucky yesterday when I woke up at 6 o'clock. It was like 22 degrees.
Oh, no kidding, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what we got in the mornings?
Yeah, go ahead.
Good question. Do you know what your schedule is going to be? Do you know which tracks you're going to be running next year for Oklahoma?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to run 18 races starting from Vegas.
Okay.
And basically, it's almost like one race yes, one race no. One race yes, one race no.
What about Dover? That's the other
Dover,
one.
Yes, we have that one as well.
Both
I'm looking
track.
Forward, you know. Come over and, you know, please give us your support. And, you know, it's we've been working really hard, you know, to get the right experience in the Geico team and get everyone, you know, on the same page. You know, Germain Racing, they have a great tradition in racing. You know, they've been successful in truck. But of course, you know, Cup cars, it's a different game. You know, the game level Cup comes up.
Cup is new to Germain because I don't think they run. They run.
No, no, they never run a Cup race until last week at Texas. So, I mean, you know, we know that we are going against the best of the best of the best, and we know that. You know, was actually I think you know a good learning curve in Texas. You know, we came out of it, you know, heads up. You know, of course, we didn't make the show, but at the end of the day, you know, for you to understand, we got the number 13 Geico car in the shop basically 1.5 weeks before. So, I mean, you can't really ask too much. And, you know, we showed how good, you know, we are when we got in the truck race. I mean, we got a truck that was well-prepped. We knew exactly how to set it up. We put it on the track, and we were running fifth. So, I mean, that's, you know, just give us a little bit of time, and you will see me there. I know I'm learning as well, you know, so it takes a bit of time.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a different car to drive. That's not the normal cars.
Yeah, and I've been used to drive this kind of cars in the last four or five years. You know, I spent a lot of time with Hendrick Motorsport testing, developing their research and development car on the road course. And I was fortunate enough to run, you know, with Rusty this year. So I've been building my experience slowly, but it's still, you know, when you go out there and you have 1.5 hour practice before qualifying, and you, as I said, you know, you unload the things in qualifying trim, that means you're gonna get like 10 laps, 12 laps on the track. That means like 6 or 8 minutes of running time. It ain't that much to learn a place when you gotta travel 200 miles per hour.
Right. No, exactly. How close were you to qualifying in Texas?
We were like a 0.6 of a second off the pace, and I mean, I can tell you, we went testing this week, yesterday in Kentucky, and we were like 1/10 slower than Brad Keselowski, and we were running a little faster than the 10 car. So, like, for you to understand, in a place where we went testing before, where we know the setup, where we have time to work on the car, you know, we are actually pretty competitive. The problem is, like, getting everything and squeeze it in that 1.5 hour practice we have right before qualifying. And, I mean, that 1.5 hour runs very quick, man.
I think, Max, I'd like to ask you real quick, because this kind of segues into what the caller was asking. A lot of the drivers are complaining about the handling characteristics of that COT, and you've done a lot of testing for Hendrick Motorsports with that car. Is the COT as impossible to drive as some of these guys claim?
I mean, I can tell you stuff. It's difficult mainly because the car doesn't have bounce. You know, it's like, so, you know, the car is slipping and sliding a lot more than what the car did before. I mean, it looks to me that, you know, your grip comes out of the tire. So, like, once the tire performance is gone, I mean, it's like I was coming out of turn four in Texas sideways, you know, at 150, 160 miles per hour. It's not, I mean, I can tell you, it's not an evil car for no mean at all. It's just, it's a car that is, you got to be in the sweet spot. And the sweet spot is very small. The window of the setup is very small. That's why sometimes you see, like, top guys running, you know, top five in a race weekend and maybe running top 20 the other weekend. Because everything is so, so small, the window of fixing the car. And, you know, but if you ask me as a driver, I have a blast. Because, I mean, that's only what I know about NASCAR. You're driving it sideways. There is a lot of driver input in it. Of course, you would like to stick it a little bit more because it would make you feel a little bit more comfortable. But at the end of the day, it's the same stuff for everyone, and you got to adapt to it.
Jimmy, do we have any other questions in the queue at the moment?
Yes, we'll take our next question from Luke Poland in Columbia, Missouri. Please go ahead.
Not too far around the corner from Cousin Carl.
Did you say Carl? Carl Edwards?
Carl Edwards. He's
He lives down the road from you?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Yeah. Let me tell you, before you answer your question, you know, what a special guy Carl is. I was walking the paddock, walking the garage like 3 years ago, and I was walking the truck garages, and he was driving the super cheap truck for Roush. And I mean, the guy came out of the hauler and came to me and said, "Max, you know, I really want to meet you. I know you've been trying to learn how to come in NASCAR." And, you know, he was like, I mean, he was full of great words. And last year, when I was walking to the grid of the Daytona 500, he came and said, "Max, I want to see you here next year." And so that's just to tell you, you know, he's a great sportsman, and I mean, I really appreciate what the guy did. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. That's a cool story to hear. I guess my first question, before I let somebody else crack at it, with only running 18 races next year for Germain, at least at this time, how concerned are you with being in the position of knowing already that you're going to be qualifying on time for all 18 of those races?
Concern, I'm not a lot. You know, I just think that I'm using that as a motivator in a way. Like, I know that it's going to be tough, you know, and the weather could be a big problem for us. But I think we should be good enough that we should make the show. You know, if, let's say, like a we are expecting that we're going to miss some races because, I mean, the competition is tough. You know, sure. We have to be pretty realistic. I mean, you know, I got to learn, team got to learn. But I can tell you, I'm expecting to be consistent qualifier by the mid-end of the season. And, you know, like for me personally as a driver, I just feel that, say, I know I'm going to be under a lot of pressure, but let me tell you, that day when I'm going to be able to go out there and not to be obliged to qualify on time, I will have so much experience about what it takes to take everything out of the car for those couple of laps that I think is going to make me a better driver. So, sure. You know, I feel, you know, pressure is welcome. I had pressure all my life, so, I mean, I know that I can tell you I was a little nervous when I rolled out in Texas, but I wasn't too nervous in a way. Like, you know, I was I had the right level of competitive spirit. But but I can tell you that it's definitely – I wish that they would have only had, like, 25 spots locked up because I think it's pretty unfair, you know, to have, you know, just 7 spots, you know, to try to make the show. And in a way, like, it's – I don't know, man. You know, it's – I know that they need to protect the guys with the big investment, but at the same time, they need to incentivate, you know, a young team, a new team like my team to get in and have I know this should be tough, but it shouldn't be super tough, I think.
Brian, I would definitely agree with you there because there's, you know, 45, 46, and sometimes more teams that are showing up at the track, and they're as well funded as, you know, the teams that are locked in as well. So it's it had its purpose and it had its use, at least what I feel, for the time. But now that there's they've kind of balanced it out, and there's, you know, plenty of cars showing up. There's not cars running out there that, you know, are there to make one lap and drop out. Usually, I think it would be something that I definitely like to see scaled back for sure.
Yeah, that's what I feel, at least. You know, I mean, I'm a newcomer. You know, I don't want to ruffle the feather of anyone, you know, but I just feel that it's tough. You know, it's tough. You know, it's okay. It has to be tough. Motor racing has to be tough. You know,
sure.
Motor racing, it shouldn't be for everyone.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's, you know, like, it just, you know, you want to keep the how do you say, the salt on the tail of the big guys as well. So maybe 25 would be a good number.
Right.
You know, but now I'm already hearing people saying, man, what this guy wants? He didn't even make a cup race. So, you know, what the hell is he talking about?
Terrific, Max. Thanks again for your time this evening, and thanks to the callers that participated.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone, for calling in. And I promise you that there is a lot of fire in me to make these things happen, and I appreciate all the support.